Good morning. I apologize. I did not know what time it was, so shame on me. I really just lost track of time. When you have a small congregation and you want to say hi to everybody, time gets away from you. So thank you all for being here on this beautiful Sunday morning. My name's Arlie Cornelius, and I just have a couple announcements to make. Want to emphasize a couple that are in the bulletin. One is that the Deacon's Pig Roast, which is always a really fun and exciting event, is September 9th, which is 2 weeks from today. So please mark your calendar and plan to be here for that. We also have a Chinese auction on that day, so if you can contribute a prize to that, see Kathy Sagi, and if you can't contribute a prize to that, bring your dollar bills for your tickets to place in the cups for the Chinese auction. So please, it is a lot of fun, and it's a fun event, so please mark your calendars. Also want to let you know that we are planning a flea market. We still don't have a definite date. It will be late September, early October, proceeds of which will go to offset and defray some of the costs of the parking lot. So as soon as we have a date, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, as you're going through your home, getting ready for back to school and cleaning out summer things, if you have things that you think are saleable, please reach out to Clara Kaler or Anna Sangle, and they will make arrangements for you. We will be collecting things prior to the event and storing them downstairs in the basement, so they can make arrangements with you to get them into the basement and make sure that they're safe and protected until the day of the event. So keep that in mind, as I said, as you're going through things. Today, we have two guests with us. Debbie Soa, we welcome back at the piano, keyboard, organ thing over there. Debbie has been with us in the past, and we're happy to have her with us. And also Thomas Thomas, who is another veteran and return person. And I see Thomas's family in the back, so welcome to you as well. And that's pretty much all I have. Does anybody have any other announcements to make? Kathy? Are you talking about the pig roast or the food bank?
The pig roast.
Okay. Is Women's Association meeting after church today?
Yes.
Women's Association meeting after church today. I think that's all. Thank you. Thomas?
It's very good to be with all of you today. Isn't it good to come into the house of the Lord to worship Him? So let us stand up and begin with a song of praise. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn for today is from hymn number 10, O Worship the King.
Our shield may fend
Thank you. Prayer of confession. Loving God, how much we have yearned for us to know you. How much you yearn to gather us in your wings like a hen gathers her chicks. How much you want to hear from us and to be with us in our joys and grieve with us in our despair. How you wish to correct us when we go astray and even fulfill the desires of our heart when our yearnings are the same as yours. Yet often we are so oblivious of your presence and so unaware of your will for us. Give our remoteness from you, O God, and help us to live like your children and relate to you as the loving Father you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment in silent confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Glory be to the Father, and to
Yes, and now let us together recite the Apostles' Creed that all Christians believe all over the world. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, and descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, and forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another. Thank you, Debbie. That was beautiful. I love that anthem, and I can just imagine the Glenshaw Choir singing. It's you know, the soaring notes soar on eagle's wings. And my prayer for us this morning is that all of us would, through the power of God's Spirit in our lives, be able to soar up on eagle's wings. So for the intercession prayer this morning, let us turn to 655. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against one, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is the confidence which we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of Him.
Thanks be to God. This is the time that we take each of our prayer concerns to the Lord together as a group. So, if you have any prayer requests, you can let me know and we will have a pastoral prayer together. Yes, Kathy.
A prayer for Paul.
Yes. Paul, you are a brave man. And we will be rooting for you. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Kathy.
Prayer for safe return for Leonard.
Safe return for Leonard, yes. Anybody else? Oh, yes, Kathy. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because we can come before you, in your presence, as your children, and bring all of the desires of our heart to the throne of your grace. Lord, at this time, I want to thank you for this wonderful group of your children who have been gathering here faithfully for generations to uplift your name, to proclaim the presence of your kingdom, and to worship you as the light of this world. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep this congregation strong, that you would keep each one in the palm of your hands, that you would bless each one here, that they might overflow with the joy of salvation that they have in you. I also want to specially pray for Pastor Leonard, who has been leading this congregation for many years. Lord, we want to thank you for this man of God. What a life of faithfulness he has led in you. And though he has gone through many challenges, struggles and ups and downs, you have kept him strong, you have kept him full of love, and you have kept him as your witness in this place. And I want to thank you for him. I pray that as he takes a break, that you might give him rest, that you would renew his spirit, and that you might bring him back so that he might continue to lead and continue to bless and continue to be the prime worshiper of you in this place. And then, O Lord, I just want to bring all of those in among us who are going through different challenges. Lord, Paul here is going to have a surgery on his heart in a couple of days. But we know, Lord, that you are the great physician. And so we ask for your hand to be with Paul, give him a peace that passeth all understanding. I pray for your presence with the surgeons, that they would be guided by you, that they would be able to do this procedure well, and that you would use them to bring complete healing to my brother. I pray for the custodian's father who has been diagnosed with cancer. Lord, it's always difficult. It's always difficult. And yet we know that that your presence can provide them everything that they need. Lord, so I pray for your provision on his family at this point. I pray that your reassurance would surround them, that the love of brothers and sisters in Christ would be so real to them that even though they go through a very, very difficult time, I pray that they might rejoice in the fact that they have so many people who love them and care for them. Lord, I also want to pray for others who might be away, who couldn't be here today. Pray that you would keep them strong, that you would bring them back. I pray that there are many who may have not heard about your gospel or may have been reluctant to respond to it in this place. They may have lived close to this church but have never come into these walls and into this fellowship, into this congregation. I pray that you would open doors for them, that you would make connections, so many people might come here and know of your love and experience the joy of your salvation. I pray for the youngsters among us, the children who are going to school and starting a new year. I pray that as they begin a new thing, that you would be there in their midst, that you would keep them strong, that you would protect them, and that you would enable them to learn and grow and be a witness for you even in their schools. I pray for all the things that you have for us in the years to come. Lord, we know that your people are the ones who carry on the course of history. It is your people who decide through their intercessions and prayers for you what happens next. And so I just pray that you would bless this congregation and that you would make this congregation an instrument of your will in this valley. I want to thank you again for your presence in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let us conclude the prayer that the Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For the hymn of preparation, we will turn to hymn number 51. Please rise. Be seated. This is the time we bring our offerings to God. Ask the ushers to please come forward. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all of your blessings in our life. Lord, we know that your blessings are numerous, and we know that without your provision in our life, without you sustaining us, none of our abilities or our gifts or our talents or anything that is of our own accord can sustain us. So Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work in our lives, that we would continue to be able to bring of ourselves to you, of our financial resources, of our time, of our talents, that we would give back to you what you have so graciously and generously given us, that our offerings to you might be like that first offering that was made to you by Abel. He brought his first fruits and you were pleased. Lord, there was your friend whom you called man after your own heart, a man called David. And when he offered himself to you, he gave with joy and he gave with a fervent heart. And you were pleased. I pray, Lord, that just like these people have pleased you with their gratitude and with their joy in giving to you, so also may we take the things that you have given us and bring it back to you with joy in our hearts, that you might be able to multiply what we give to you and use it for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 to 11. It's a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of you. And I'm going to read it for you today. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The Word of God. Well, before I go into the message for today, I just want to thank you again for inviting me back. I always love to be back with all of you, and I just want to also introduce my family again, if they could please stand up. You could see how the kids have grown. I hear Andrew is... he has friend Shannon, who's practically our adopted daughter, is here with us. And I'm very happy also to have my mother-in-law, Sophie's mother, Edith Thomas, with us. This is her last weekend in the U.S., and she leaves by the end of this week. So I'm very happy that all of them could be here today. Okay. I'm not here very often, and when Arlie asked if I could come and fill in for Leonard today, I was wondering what I should be preaching on, and as I was praying, I was led to the fact that if I have one shot with you, if I have one thing that I would share with you, I'd like to share about prayer. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. And when you look at the scripture, what the scripture has to say about prayer, you come across this verse, "Ask and it will be given to you." Now, this verse is said by no less than the person of Jesus himself. And there's such a bold and audacious promise by Jesus that it really begs our attention if we are looking and investigating the subject of prayer in the Bible. Yet because of the boldness of this verse, it has been misused in many ways. Some have actually used this verse as a proof that God does not exist. Can you believe it? There was this website that I was looking at where he had 50 proofs of God, 50 proofs of the non-existence of God. And proof number 49 was this verse right here. Because he looked at it like this. He said, see, this is what God promises, that if you ask, you will receive what you ask for. And so then he asks for something. He says, I'm going to ask for Christ to come and speak to me just like he spoke to the disciples and to the apostles and all of them. And then he says, see, that did not happen. So obviously, this promise is wrong. And because this promise is wrong, obviously God does not exist. So that is one way people have used this verse. But on the other end of the spectrum, you find another interesting thing that is actually birthed out of this country. And that is the whole idea of the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel practitioners believe that all the health and all the wealth that we need can be available to us. And all we have to do is ask with enough faith. Because see, this is what the Bible says, ask and be given to you. And again, that's not the intent of this verse, and that is not the intent of how God wants us to relate to him. So I wanted to take some time to explore what this verse actually is talking about. Because this promise, ask and you will receive, has a great richness. Has a great richness to it. It is a promise that points to the possibility of a special relationship that each of us can have with God. And to understand that, I want to start this morning by exploring God's yearning to hear from his babies. This morning, God of the Bible says that he wants to hear from his babies. Now, prayer is a mystery because God knows every thought. He knows every need that we have. And he knows his plans for the future, right? He knows everything. And furthermore, we are finite creatures who don't know what's best even for ourselves, let alone the whole world. So you might ask, why in the world does God want to listen to our childish petitions? Why does God seek our childish requests? And I have been wondering about this question for a long time. And as I was reflecting on this, my mind was taken to the delivery room of a hospital. Well, I want us to go to that moment where new life steps forth into this world. You see, the birth of a child, any child for that matter, is one of life's greatest moments. Well, I was reading the news yesterday that Neil Armstrong passed away, and so just out of a nod to him, I have to mention, I mean, he was the first person to ever have walked on the face of the moon. Tremendous. But as tremendous as that may be, the birth of any child is as tremendous as that, because this child is then coming into this world to walk on earth for the first time. And when this baby comes out, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I'm sure many of you have had this experience, the baby looks hardly human. It's has blood all over its face, it's still connected to the mother through the umbilical cord. And in fact, the baby doesn't even need to breathe because it's actually getting its oxygen from the cord, right? But then as soon as the baby comes out, all the nurses, they hurry and scurry about, take the baby, take their little suction devices, put them in the baby's mouth, in the baby's nose, they suck out all the gunk, and then they wait. The nurses are waiting, the doctor is waiting, and the parents are waiting. Everybody is waiting to hear one thing. They are waiting to hear the baby cry. See, when the baby makes this unique, soft, and loud sound, it is a cry that is both helpless and strong, demanding and gentle. What a unique cry. And everybody is happy. See, human life begins with a paradox. The baby cries and the mom and dad are happy. The cries won't bring joy to the parents forever, but now it is this sound, the first cry of the baby, is as glorious as it gets. The cry tells the doctors that the baby's lungs are working. So that's why the doctor is happy. But for the parents, the cry gives them the first peek into their baby's voice. Through the baby's voice, they begin to get to know their child. Now take that moment in the delivery room and imagine that delivery room scene with God as the parent and the new life as the child of God who has been born again. Imagine an individual who has made a commitment to Christ and is now in a brand new relationship with the God of the universe. God is waiting to hear from his child. Now, God is not waiting to hear some sophisticated prayer filled with words that only William Shakespeare would use. No. God is just waiting to hear the first genuine, coming from the heart statement to God that we can think of. God is waiting to hear from us. And it gets even better. Jesus makes a spectacular promise to his disciples. What you ask of God, that you will receive. All you have to do is ask and you will receive it. In fact, James chapter 1 and verse 6 says that when you ask without a drop of doubt in your mind, then you will receive. Because the one who doubts is like that surf that lives on the waves on a beach. Surf is just simply tossed by the wind here and there. And surf by itself cannot expect to go in any particular direction that it wants. It is completely at the mercy of the wind and the waves. Now, Jesus' disciples are expected to not be like the surf that is riding the waves. Jesus' disciples are expected to come to God with complete confidence in what they ask of God. But this brings us to a really big problem. You might say that there is a huge disconnect between what the Bible says and what our own life experiences have been, right? Because if you've lived the Christian life for any length of time, you know that life is littered with unanswered prayers. Almost every death is in some way an unanswered prayer. Every conflict around the world is an unanswered prayer. Every division in the church is, at some point, an unanswered prayer. Well, someone once said that God answers every prayer in three possible ways, right? It could be either a yes, it could be a no, or it could be a not yet. Yes, no, or not yet. Well, let's go through that. And the simple fact that God can, the simple fact of life is that God cannot answer every prayer, because many of our prayers may actually conflict with somebody else's prayers, right? You don't have to go very far to imagine an example. Now, we are here in Pittsburgh, are Steelers fans. And imagine there is a game between the Steelers and the Ravens. Now I can imagine that there'll be many people in this part of town who will be praying that the Steelers win. Meanwhile, way up there in Baltimore, people are praying that the Ravens will bring home the victory. Now I hope I didn't touch a raw nerve here. But let's look at another example. A farmer somewhere is praying for rain. Meanwhile, a bride that is getting ready for an outdoor wedding is praying that there would be sunshine, right? So the simple fact of life is that all prayers cannot be answered by God with a yes. Some prayers are going to get a no answer. Then there are some prayers, like Jesus' own prayer for unity in the church, that even though that wish is very much at the heart of God, yet for some reason beyond our human understanding, even Jesus got a not yet answer to that prayer. It's not a you know, but it's a not yet. But what Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, introduces us to here is a third category of prayer that the disciples pray that I think is the most exciting category. The third category of prayer that God answers is the prayers that God answers with a big resounding yes. I would like to share two stories here. There was a Nepali family that came to Pittsburgh some time ago. They were refugees to this country, and they were very new to this place. As they have been, they've been settling down in this country. They had a baby on the way. Everything was going well with the baby, and as it was almost come to the point of delivery. There was just a few weeks, then a few days. Everything was going well up to that point. Then suddenly, when they go for the checkup, which is for the last few days, the doctors get very worried because they realize that all movement in the womb has suddenly stopped. And that's very, very unusual and not a good sign at all at that stage in the pregnancy. So they rush the mother in. They have the baby delivered, and when the baby comes out, they do all the tests. They do an MRI on the baby's brain, and they realize that something went wrong in the last few days. The umbilical cord probably got squeezed. The blood to the baby stopped, and the baby was oxygen deprived, and so its entire brain was brain dead. In fact, it was almost like as if this baby was not alive when you looked at the brain scans. Now, these people, you have to understand, are coming from a place where they have not even seen a toilet in their house, And so you can imagine how bewildered they were when they come into this country and they are amidst all of this high-tech systems. And then the doctors, after doing all of their tests, come and tell them that you have delivered a baby that is practically brain dead. The baby was not completely dead though. And so this family couldn't give up hope on this baby. So this baby was completely intubated. There was oxygen going through the nose and food going through the IV, and was like a complete bundle of wires. Now this baby is part of the Bhutanese Nepali church, and I've been working with them considerably over these last few years. And so the pastor of this church gathered up a few people who wanted to pray for this baby, and called me as well. And we went to the hospital to meet the doctor, because the parents really could not understand what the doctor was telling them. It was completely beyond their capacity to understand. So the doctor said that because this baby's MRI is almost flatline, there is almost no indication of anything happening in the brain, this baby's brain is actually dead. And we are supporting this baby through all of these machines to keep it alive, but you have to tell us what you want us to do, because really what we want to do is pull the plug, because there is no hope for this baby. Now, there's a different matter if the baby is born dead, and it's a much more difficult challenge if you have to be the one to pull the plug and watch the baby gasp and die, right, after carrying the baby for 9 months. So the parents really wanted a group of people to pray and help them make this decision. And so we all prayed, and nobody was at peace about pulling the plug on this baby. So we bought time. We said, doctors, just give us 2 more days. Just keep this baby and we do a whole bunch of tests. Anyway, to cut a long story short, on that day, which was decided finally that we are going to do another test on this baby, and if the baby fails, we're going to have to pull the plug. On that day, everybody came, prayed, and in front of our eyes, we saw this baby stir. And it was, the doctors couldn't believe it. They said, we've been, in the children's hospital, said, we've been doing this for 20 years and we've never seen a baby respond like this from a brain scan that we saw a few days ago. Subsequently, in the months that has followed, this baby has actually grown, developed, and is able to do all kinds of things that the doctor said would not be possible. Ask, and you shall receive. Well, I want to share another story that's a little different, of a different kind. There is, as some of you know, the work that I do is share the gospel with people from Hindu backgrounds who come to India as students to study at the universities here. And I've been sharing the gospel for many years now, for about 4 years. And many of the students have heard, many I believe understood what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. But if for an Indian student to actually come to that point of being able to say that, you know, I'm going to leave my everything that I believe and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ is practically an impossible proposition. And yet, as many people have prayed, many people have prayed for some of these students. Last summer, just in fact very recently, not even 2 months ago, one of the students who is a Hindu Brahmin of a very, very high level, even within the Brahmin community, put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ and said, yeah, I don't think anything else makes sense except Jesus Christ. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Ask, and you shall receive. It is an extravagant promise, but God's disciples oftentimes fail to avail of this promise. Ask, and you shall receive, and the door will be open to you. And when that happens, it's really, really exciting. But in spite of this incredible, incredible power that we have at our disposal, so many of God's children, the children of our super rich father, I believe can be characterized as dirt poor, lost, and lonely. I'm talking about people in the church today. Let's look at the state of the church today. I got some numbers for you to crunch. According to research on faith in America conducted by the Barna Group, 84% of Americans describe themselves as being Christian. 84% of Americans. Yet, only 65% of the population would say that they have made a personal commitment to Christ. Only 56% of people would say that their faith is important to them today. And only 25% of people feel that they have any responsibility at all to share their faith to those around them. Well, if you consider the church to be made up of all those people who call themselves Christian, you would get these numbers looking like this. And I made the calculation, and you can see what it looks like. So if you look at the Christians, the church, as those who call themselves Christian, only 67% of those in the church say that their faith is important to them. Only 67%. And out of those, only 30% of people in church then feel that they have any responsibility to share their faith with others. If these kind of statistics were true of Jesus' 12 disciples, then you would have the situation where of Jesus' 12 disciples, only 7 said that their faith is important to them. And out of them, out of the 12, only 4 would think that it's their responsibility to share their faith with others. Think of where the church would have been if this was a situation in Jesus' time. Do you see how ridiculous these numbers sound when we are talking about people within the church? When you try to piece together what the faith of self-proclaimed Christianity in this country looks like, you see person after person who calls themselves Christian, who is not familiar with the Bible, who doesn't take an active part in the life of the church, who does not have a relationship with Christ, and who does not feel the need to share the gospel because, in fact, they don't have much of a faith to share in the first place. Too many Christians have a poor experience of church and an even poorer experience with God. When you look at the church today, you find that many so-called Christians in this country are dirt poor, lost, and even lonely. Now, Jesus' words are very clear. A disciple of Christ need never be so poor in the knowledge of God. The Bible says that when you know your Father's heart, you can ask and mountains will move. Now, the real secret to Jesus' promise in Matthew 7:7 is knowing the context in which Jesus makes his spectacular promise. You see, after the Gospel of Matthew gets warmed up, I'm just going to give you a quick summary of what is there in the book of Gospel before we reach the spectacular promise. So the book of Matthew starts off with all this background material of where Jesus came from and Jesus' own preparation before he entered ministry. And after the gospel gets warmed up, it goes bang into a series of sermons from Jesus' mouth. And chapter 4 begins the sermon series with a series that Jesus gives on the beatitude. So Jesus looks into the eyes of the people and says, well, do you know who are those who are blessed by God? Well, the people who are blessed by God are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who are hungry, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who have a pure heart, the merciful, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake. So Jesus is saying that if you want to be blessed with God's presence in your life, then you have to make sure that you're not so full of yourself, that you have a pure heart, that you are meek and yet merciful, that you are willing to go through hardships for Christ's sake, but that you also can make peace wherever you can. Is that a tall order? Well, Jesus was just getting started. Because after the Beatitudes, Jesus continues and says that his disciples have a task in this world. You know, this world that is going to make your life miserable because you are my disciples. Well, I want you, each of you, to be a light to that world. And while you are at it, while you are being a light to that world, you need to be a preserver in that world as well. Well, you need to be the ones to add flavor to this world. You might be pretty exasperated at this point, and you might ask Jesus, what else? What else do you want us to do, Jesus? Anything else? And Jesus says, well, in fact, there is more. You know all those Jewish laws that you had in the Old Testament? Well, did you know that I actually came to fulfill them and not to throw them away? Well, it really means, what that means is that I want to actually come and tell you what is God's real standard. What is the whole idea behind God putting those laws in the first place? And you know what God's real standard is? Well, if you think negatively about someone, it is equivalent to committing a murder or adultery or whatever negative thing that you are thinking about. Think, and it's as bad as doing. And guess what? You know those enemies of yours? Well, I want you to love them as well. You know why? Because any Tom, Dick, and Harry can love his friends. Only my disciples can love their enemies. At this point, I'm sure you're really exasperated. And you might say, come on, Jesus. Can you make any things any harder for us? Well, Jesus responds and says, yeah, actually, there is more, but I'm not going to give all of those things to you right now. But if you have reached the end of your rope, it is a good place to be. Because then you'll be able to appreciate better two things that I want to share with you now. The first thing is, don't worry, it'll be all okay. Did you watch any birds when you were on your way to church this morning? Did they look all anxious about where their next meal was going to come from? Were they worrying about their retirement plans and their healthcare coverage? No, of course not. So don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. You know the famous song. Well, because the God of heaven takes care of them, that is the reason they don't worry. And the same God of heaven that takes care of them is going to take care of you as well. So don't worry. It's going to be okay. And if you are at peace, not anxious about anything, then you will be ready to hear the second thing that you need to know about being a disciple of Christ. And that is this. Just ask and you will receive it. You see, Jesus is saying, the reason I gave you all of those challenging expectations of being a disciple is because I want you to realize one thing, that you cannot be a disciple of God on your own strength. When you realize that you cannot do it by yourself, Then just ask me, and I will give you the strength. And you know what? When you're asking is for something that helps you be a better disciple, then there is no limit to what you can ask. As long as you're not asking to satisfy your indulgences and your whims, when you're asking is for your ability to be a better disciple, ask away, my friend. Ask and you will receive. And just watch me work in your life. What Jesus is saying here is that when you know the Father's heart, then all you need to do is ask, and even mountains will move for you. You see, God seeks a vital, vibrant, and personal relationship with every one of you. God, in fact, yearns to hear from us. And because of that, he has made a spectacular promise to his disciples. Ask and you shall receive. God is in fact willing to change the course of history and fill your life with rich experiences of God's presence and God's interventions. In fact, Christians are always waiting to hear about what God is doing in their life. Ask and you will receive. May God bless us all and give each of us full and rich experiences of Him. Amen. As a hymn of response, shall we rise and sing hymn number 433, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, may our Lord who called us, our Lord who saved us, and our Lord who sustains us be with each one of us and strengthen us with a wonderful relationship. Strengthen us for the task that you have called us to do out in this world as your disciples. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and evermore. Go in peace and serve the Lord.